discover the inherent power of God in you.
Whether there are challenges or not, we are still the same. We are constant. God is constant. God does not change. And that is the life that we have received. He says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the same life we have also received. We are also the same yesterday, today, and forever. What kind of life? We are the same because we have the same life with Christ. So when you think about God, think about you. Because everything he is, that is why he told Abraham, he said, I am your exceeding great reward. God gave himself as a reward to Abraham. And we are the seed of Abraham. Therefore, we have inherited God himself.
Listen to Pastor O.T. Boateng as Christ is magnified in you.
Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We are grateful for your presence in this place. Thank you for your presence. We thank you for all that you're about to do. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So today, we are going to talk. You know, it's amazing. Anytime I'm asked to preach, I'll preach about love. It's just, I guess that is what God wants me to talk about. But almost every time, it's about one aspect of it or the other. Yeah. So we are talking about love. Maybe when, as we go along, we'll see the, you know, the other perspective we are talking about. But it's the greatest. That's why we talk about it. 1 Corinthians 13:13 said, these are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Love is the greatest because God is the embodiment of love. So God is not faith. God is not hope. God is love. That's what makes it very, very, you know, powerful. God is love. He is not faith. He is not power. Do you understand? He is love. You understand? Because most of the names that they give to God, Jehovah, my provider, is like they are describing a characteristic. But he is love. And it is, I always say that it is love that conquered the devil. Jesus did not go and do any cast, I don't know, he didn't go and do any karate or anything. What he did, even though in the eyes of man looked weak, was the most powerful thing that conquered the devil. Love. Anytime we talk about love, people think you are weak. But that is God. Maybe it is the understanding of what love is that confuses people. Because there are so many, you know, misconstrued understanding of what love is. You know, the devil has managed to twist it in. People are in abusive, not even marriages, relationship. So I love him, so I'll stay there. Like, you are sick. It's not your husband. Get out. That's not what your father, any person who loves you will tell you to get out. That is love. Love is the get out. Love is not the emotions. That one is lust. It's not love. It's lust, foolishness, and stupidity. Do you understand? That is not love. So that's what I'm saying, that the world has twisted the love word. You understand? People would define love as lust, lust as love, and madness sometimes as love. And I don't know, anything stupid as love. But real love is who God is. And he gives us that definition. So God is the standard of the world. Look, he's the owner of the world. See, whether you believe it or not, it's like the sun is the sun. Whether you think it is not there, you don't believe it. Your grandfather, your great-grandfather is dead. He hasn't come back to life, no matter how much you wish him to. And he's going to be dead he's not coming back. Unless Jesus comes and there's a resurrection and the judgment. You see, there are facts of life. There are facts of life. And the, you see, the earlier you begin to understand that, look, there are facts of life, and begin to live accordingly, the better for you. You see, people can lie to you. You can be in a fantasy world for a long time and wake up one day and see how much you've wasted your life. Like you've wasted your life. And you see, the thing is that we really are in a battle. Okay. The battle, it has changed, you know, styles over the years. You see, the more the devil takes your attention, the more he's wasting your life. You understand? So now that is the battle that is on now. Attention. That social media people cannot do without. It's like, I'll die. Who said you die? We didn't have it before. And you won't die, trust me. It's a lie. Anything that makes itself higher than God is a lie. I can't do without. It's a lie. I can't do without sex. I can't do without the TV. I can't do without. It's a lie. It is destructive. You see, there's a standard for life, whether you like it or not. Whether you believe it or, like, it doesn't change the thing. You see, that Lumumba is gone. Like, he just went like that. It was, what happened? You know, he's gone. Like, he's a human being. Like, what did you think? That he was going to live forever? Anyway, but just, no, seriously, look, there are realities of life. And you don't have all the time in the world like you think you do. Okay? So you have to face realities. And the reality is the word of God. The things that you are going through in life, all the struggles, all the hustling, if you know God. And if someone know about him, if you decide to get to know him personally, you see that life is beautiful. Because he in him is life. He is the life owner. He is the one who embodies life. So if you want to enjoy life, why don't you join the person who created it in the first place? Why do you want to join the one who destroys it? So that tells you that there's a lie, okay? There's a strong deception out there, and it's because the devil is the god of this world. That is in Ephesians chapter 2, okay, verse 1 and 2. How many of you know that the devil is the god of this world? Raise your hand up. Okay. How many of you don't know that the devil is the god of this world? Raise your hand up. But we are not of this world. As Christians, we are in the world, but our kingdom is not of this world. We are in a higher kingdom. And as a Christian, you should know that. So you live above the systems of this world. You are higher. You live a higher life. You don't live a mediocre life. Okay? So let's go back to the Ephesians 2, Living Bible. Let's see. He said, once you were under God's cares, doomed forever for your sins. Because God is a just God too. Do you understand? He's love, but he's just. And the wages of sin is death. And that's why Jesus came. To rescue us from all that. So the judge brought a solution so that he could save all. That's the love of God. That's what John 3:16 means. He said he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world so much that he gave his only son so that anyone who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We discussed eternal life the last time, isn't it? Yeah. But we'll have eternal life. We'll have the life of God. We'll have a relationship. Because that is life. That is true life. A relationship with God. That is true life. That is true life. So the devil causes man to sin so that God, who is just and cannot be changed, will kill man, who is his beloved creation, his beloved son, so that the devil is happy. Now the judge now has to make a solution so that he can save his children. That is what Jesus came to do. To find a solution to the sin problem. What was causing God to destroy man? Because by nature, that is God's nature, that he is also just. That is why there's judgment day. Do you understand? He is the judge of the whole world. That's why there's judgment day. Everybody will be judged according to what did you do on earth? I gave you life. What did you do with it? There's that thing. What did you do with the life that I gave you? You don't own your life. You see, that's the deception too that the devil had. My life is my life. You are lying. When the car hits you, you see whether you can hold on to your life or... Do you understand? If our lives belonged to us, we wouldn't die. It tells you that your life does not belong to you. And we all have a limited time on this earth. And we are being brought on this earth for a specific reason to accomplish something which you get rewards for at the end of life. I was reading Daniel. It was amazing. Daniel 12:13. But go on now to the end of your life and your rest, for you rise again, and you will have your full share of those last days. Okay. Oh, there was something I was looking at. Go now on to the end of your life. Let's do King James, and let me see. Go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. The understanding I got from this is that there was another thing that I read, I can't remember, but it was like at the end of the days, you have your reward because you've done your work. Do you understand? Everybody will get their reward. Now, there's somebody who doesn't want you to get your reward. There's somebody who wants you to... When I come and I was telling the people in my house that, you see, Daddy Lumba was a very nice person. Somebody said, he'll make you sin, he'll take you to church, he'll tell you some girls are dangerous, then he'll tell you God should bless the ladies, then it's like he's just swinging you all over the place, you know. No, but seriously, think about it though. Is that the impact you want to live in life? Because you are going back to your maker, and your maker didn't make you for this. He was greatly talented. No two ways about it. But it could have been used in another way because, you know, last night people are going to drink, people are going to sleep together, people are going to fornicate, people are going to mess up, there's drugs, people are going to take, like, seriously. That's your legacy. You have to think because there is judgment at the end. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, it's like being in the university and saying that, oh, that's where the exams is, won't come on. Because I don't believe it. I'm in my world. I don't believe it will happen. It's not real. The lectures, what is all this? I just want to enjoy. At the end, it will come. Whether you believed it, whether you perceived it, whether you whatever, it will happen. So I'm saying this to tell you that take your life seriously. Oh, you have one life. What we can do is what we are doing right now. We are teaching you the word. We are showing you God's word and what he says. Because that is the standard for life, whether you believe it or not. It doesn't change anything. It is God's perspective that matters. Your perspective, you have to conform to God's perspective. Whether you like it or not. Oh, yeah. Because I see too many people, too many young people, destroying their lives in a delusion, an unfortunate delusion. Lies that have been created by the social media. Your lives are being destroyed. You have the power to do so much for God and in God's way, but are going off in the other way. Okay, so God is love. 1 John 4, 7. We'll read 7 to 20. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. That is a very powerful statement. Let us love one another, colon, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. This is our nature, the new recreated nature that God gave us when we became born again. He said, that's why in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, he's like, we like esoteric things, mysterious mysticisms. You understand? You want something. We don't know what you want. You want to see an angel. That angel is your servant. I don't understand. You speak with tongues and of men, and that is what people hold to their chest, that I can speak to angels. So what? They are my servants. Why are you so proud that you are talking to the people who serve me? It's strange. See, if you don't know your word, if you don't know you, they are for us. We, the heirs of God, we are heirs of God. Heirs of God. We are the sons of God. We are no mean people. We are no small boys and girls. We are not children. We are not weaklings. We have God in us. You don't know God. That's why you don't know who you are. If you knew God, you know that you are not a small thing. You are not a small person. The God who could open the Red Sea, who has opened the Red Sea since Jesus, since God did it? Who? Which God? Which Agbala? Which whoever? Whoever who has done it? Nobody. And you know the funny thing? God hates it when we elevate these things above him. He hates it. He hates it with all his might. We make him too small. And as Christians, we've made God too small in our minds. We have to go and learn about who our Father is. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men, and that's how come people will come and do all manner of things, and we think that one is more powerful. They'll come and turn around here and dance and think it's very, very powerful. Because it's dramatic. You understand? Do I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, says love? I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, it's strange he mentions this. Because this has... That means it was a problem then, I must say. Because... Now people are beginning to say, behave as if prophecy is the most amazing thing that happened to man. He mentioned it then. That means that issue was there. This is very interesting. He didn't say, though I have the gift of healing, working of miracles, discernment of spirit. He mentioned prophecy. He did. Yes. So though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries, just said the mysteries and this was a problem. And it has come, it says nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. Mysteries and mysteries. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The mysteries of the sun and the moon and the stars and everything else. We all don't know. And all knowledge. And all knowledge. And though I have all faith, hey, so that I can remove mountains. So these are things. So this one, I was talking to the church. These were not to unbelievers. This message, this letter was to the church. Because we tend to exalt all manner of things above love, which is the greatest. Your ability to prophesy is like, yes, you have reached. Your ability to remove mountains, oh Lord, have mercy. Hey, you are not a small fry. You can explain the mysteries. These are things that the body can veer off and get into. I know, what is it? I know this. Hey, God, anything the Bible doesn't tell you to know, you don't need it. I'm telling you, anything the Bible doesn't tell you, you don't need it. Because I've seen people get into horrible bondage, which has not profited them till now. With all the interesting things that they know. You see, man is inquisitive, but you should know how to guard yourself. That if it is not in the Bible, I don't want it. You hear from the very senior men of God who are doing so, they'll tell you that. If it's not in the Bible, because they've all come across it. This was in 1 Corinthians, so during just after Jesus had gone, the first church group, these things came up. So it's not anything new. It's not anything new. So all the things you are seeing on TV, people doing all manner of things, as making them seem as if they are powerful. If there's no love of God, it tells you that. He said, it is nothing. It is zero over 200, over 1,000, over 1,000,000, over whatever. It's zero. And if I had the gift of prophecy and knew all about what is going to happen in the future, because this is what people are doing now. Like, I don't understand what's going on. Oh, it's bad. It's so bad. Everything. Somebody saw, look, it is fetishism. It's not prophecy. God doesn't have time like that. Look, people are dying. Oh. People are dying. Souls are perishing. It's a kingdom agenda. To be worried about Agrada and all those things. You know, who killed Daddy Lumba? And like, you know, that's how the thing has become. So nasty. It's, you know, it's called, Ebisa. Yes, it's fetishism. And now they are saying it is prophecy. Because in the traditional natural thing, that was what they used to do. They'll go to the fetish and ask, so what happened? Now you say it's prophecy. It's demonic. Demonic. Pure. What do you want to do it? What? They are going to worry somebody who is sitting there somewhere. The person is dead. What are you going to do? What will you do with that knowledge? And 300% is a lie. It's a demon who is telling you. Demons, like, please, if the unbelievers are doing it, fine. But as a Christian, please, don't try. If you try, you are dead. It's like you have crossed into the enemy's territory, straight. You are dead. Already, he's looking for you to kill you. You do that straight, you've entered red zone. What will happen to you? Only God. Only God knows. Nobody should force you to go for that. Tell them, I'm a Christian. I don't believe in that. I'm sorry. That's what I stand for. It is an attempt to destroy you. Anybody, for example, a parent passes or a spouse or whatever. Okay, let's go and ask. I beg you, go and ask me. I don't need to know. No, you stand because immediately you step there. What it is that you've given authority. to them. And already the devil wants you dead. You die. And be wondering where God is. You stepped out. Do you understand? You stand for what you believe. Otherwise, you're in trouble. He said, but didn't love others. What good would it do? Even if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, I would still be worth nothing at all without love. You see, these gifts are for building people up. It is not for, it's not an achievement like your doctorate degree or those things, which people tend to do. Okay, hold it to their chest. Okay, I did this, I raised the dead. But when you raise the dead and everything, it's to edify the church. Not to boast like, I am Superman than everybody, I am better than everybody, I'm the special one, you know. No, that is not love. And then he begins to explain what love he's talking about. So when it tells you that when you are not working in this love, you are having a problem. Anything that you are doing doesn't work. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 13:3. He said, if I give everything I have to the poor, and if I were burned alive for preaching the gospel, in fact, you can do all these. These are to Christians. These are works. Works without love is zero. So he's telling us that works without love is nothing. So you can evangelize. It's powerful. But if you are doing it as if somebody is holding something at your back, but you're not doing it out of love, that this is my master's work, and I'm doing it because I love God, it is not correct. You are shepherding people. You are shepherding them as if we don't even know what you are doing. It's a chore. You are doing it grudgingly. Oh, it's very sad. You are doing it as if somebody is killing you. You are doing it so that people say that, okay, you have done it. But God is looking at you. It's 0/10. No? Hey. And if I were burned alive, so people were even burned alive. Yes, I'll die for Jesus. But it is for sure. No, do you know people do things so that they say that they will be in the history books. So some of the deaths that we hear, it may not all be correct. Oh. Judgments, they will reveal things. It will be serious. Oh, yes. You did it for sure, so that you'll be shocked at how man thinks. That's what man did. He said, but didn't love others. It will be of no value whatever. Hey, no value. It's very scary. 4. Love is very patient and kind. Never jealous or envious. Never boastful or proud. Never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. You see, it should be. This is the mirror of life. It should be letting the word, you know, go through you. It's like, ish, where am I? Where am I lacking in this one? Ish, is it shaking some tables? But that's what the word is supposed to do, okay? It's supposed to reveal your heart so that you realize that, this thing is not good. Lord, I take what you have for me. It's for you to see that, it's not working. My person, there's no good thing in me. So when it reveals it, you realize that, okay, now I have to take what God has for me because there's nothing good in my normal, natural life. Nothing, no. Love does not demand its own way. If we don't do it like this, we won't do it. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges, oh dear. And will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. Okay? It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins. If you love someone, you'll be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. All the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end, but love goes on forever. Someday, prophecy and speaking in tongues, in Anula and special knowledge, these gifts will disappear. Now we know so little, even with our special gifts and the preaching of those most gifted is still so poor. So even the gifts we have is little, like we don't know much. But when we have been made perfect and complete, that is when Jesus comes, then the need for these inadequate special gifts will come to an end and they will disappear. They are temporal. So he's telling us that the gift is temporal. It's for just here. It's like this. When I was a child, as I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does, which is normal for all of us. We've all thought like that, that if we can prophesy, that means we have reached. That if we can remove some mountains, that means that we are now the mamas and the papas of the world. You know, it has all, but you see, God is merciful. But when I became a man, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood. And now I have put away the childish things. 12. In the same way, we can see and understand only a little about God now, as if you were peering at his reflection in a poor mirror. But someday, we are going to see him in his completeness, face to face. Now, all that I know is hazy and blurred. But then I will see everything clearly, just as clearly as God sees into my heart right now. 13. There are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So it's telling us that all the gifts and everything, they go away. Except these three: faith, hope, and love. So let's go back to 1 John 4:7-20. King James. Beloved, let us love one another. He said, for love is of God. The reason why we love one another is because it is of God. We've come to realize that God is love. We've come to realize that if you do anything without love, it is nothing. So it tells you how important love is. Okay. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So when you go and then you go and look through. So you see, when something happens, for example, somebody hurts you or you are offended by someone, you are saying forgive. Forgive. It's not because we don't feel the thing that you are feeling. It's because God says we should. It's because God says we should. That's why we say so. Not because we don't understand what you are going through. Because we know that that offense will kill you. That hurt will destroy your life, which is what the devil wants. That offense will kill you. So when we say forgive, now we know that we are talking about what God says we should do. He said, and anyone that loves, so when you are doing this thing, these things, then we know that, yes, you are a child of God. You are born of God. And knoweth God, that means you know God. That means you know the word. Okay, 8. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. So one way we know you don't know God is when you misbehave. In a way, like when you don't love, we know you don't know God. Like you can be very wicked to your sister. We know you have a problem. You don't know God. You don't know God. Because if you know God, you won't do some things. You won't hurt. You won't hurt somebody. And you won't be selfish in your thinking. And you won't be thinking about only how you will prosper. You won't be thinking about how only you, regardless of the consequences of your actions to other people. It tells you that you don't know God. These are very profound statements. You have to think about it. It's like, for God is love. Okay. 9. And this was manifested the love of God towards us, because he sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. 10. Okay, so let's read Passion in this one. This is love. He loved us long before we loved him. It was his love, not ours. He proved it by sending his son to be the pleasing sacrificial offering to take away our sins. So it's describing God's love for us. I know anytime we talk about Jesus dying, it's like it's so far, it's like we don't understand what this whole thing is about. But it's very, very, very powerful. Without this, we, like right now, like fire has caught everybody. Because God is a just God and he punishes sin. But because of this sacrifice, we have been spared a lot. We have been spared a lot. Okay, 11. Delightfully loved ones. Okay, let's go back to King James. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So nobody has seen God. Nobody can see God and live. No. But God, we were made in God's image. So your brother sitting next to you is God. Looks like God. Is God's offspring. Is God's image and likeness. So if you can't love your brother who is sitting next to you, you can't do good to your brother who is living. How can you say you love God? I don't know how you love God. Not by saying I love God. I don't know. That's not loving God. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. 13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and him in us, because he has given us of his spirit. And he has put his own Holy Spirit on our hearts as a proof to us that we are living with him and he with us. Let's go back to King James. And furthermore, we have seen that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him. Okay, let's skip to, okay, 16, let's see. All right. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. We have to believe the love that God has for you. You understand? We must strive to understand the love that God has for you. Strive, like pray, Holy Spirit, help me to know the love that God has for me. It's a very powerful prayer topic. You know, help me to know, because people don't know. When you know how much you have been loved, you will love much. When you know how much you have been loved, you will love much. And believe the love that God has towards. A lot of people don't believe that God loves them. A lot of people don't believe that God loves them because of one or two things that are happening around them. God loves, you see, we are in a fallen world and things happen. It's not that everything, it's a fallen world. It's fallen, I don't know how to say it. It's a fallen world. We talked about the fact that the devil is the god of this world. Now for you to get out of, you have to focus on Jesus. One, you have to give your life to Christ. Two, you have to focus on his word. You have to believe that God loves you. One, you have become a child of God. And God is a good father. God is not like your earthly father that you think is wicked. No, God is not like that. God loves you very much. And you have to believe it. One prayer, I'm saying this, prayer topic for you to go home. Ask God, help me to know how much you have loved me. And help me to love you. Help me to know how much you have loved me. So that you can help me believe. Look, because it takes away a lot of things. It disarms the devil. Knowing the love of God disarms the devil. Because a lot of things that happen to you is because you have a wrong understanding of who God is. Even the love of God, you don't even understand it well. Some people think that, oh, God loves me so I can do anything I want. That's stupid. That's not love. That's stupidity. So that one to people, oh, God forgive me. So, there's another verse there. We'll get there. So that is another twisted information in our minds that the devil has done. So we are talking about, oh, God loves you, God loves you. Then your human mind, being unspiritual, you say, oh, okay, so, hey, if God loves me there, then I can do anything. And, doubtful. Yes, his love will not go away, but the devil will get you. Oh, he will get you. Because you see, God loves unbelievers also. It is his will that everybody comes to the knowledge of him. But sin is an enemy. That's why he came to take you out of it. Now, as he has taken you out of it, why do you go back into it? It doesn't make any sense. Yes, the reason why maybe people, we always say that, don't worry, if you make a mistake, get up. It doesn't mean that, oh, okay, that means I can do. That means, hey, I can do. Don't be stupid. No, that one, you're a bit, look, but God's love won't go away, but you know what you do? You open the door for the devil to get you. Until you realize that you know what? Because the Bible says in Romans, Brother 8 or 6, said that to whom you obey, you become a servant too. So when you obey the devil, you are a child of God, but you like the world. You love the world. You want to do everything that the world is doing. Oh, dear. You're a child of God. You want to experience... Are you crazy? Are you mad? Hey, you are really sicko. Because you are in toilets, which was killing you. You have been taking... No, sin is literally toilet. Worse than that. It is poison. It kills you. It destroys you. And Jesus saves you. And instead of living for him, somehow you think it is fashionable. I don't even know. That as you have been cleaned and washed and made new, and even your immune system has been changed. So this is what happens to a Christian who is born again and goes back in there. It's like your whole system has been rewired to live a certain life. Now, as you, first when you are doing the wrong thing, you feel it. You realize that, I don't like this. So it's telling you that now your new nature and this thing is so. So what you ask for is grace to do the right thing. And as you receive grace to do the right thing. You receive grace because God has destroyed all the power of the devil. Sin has no power over you. So you have to talk to yourself that, you know what, porn, you don't have power over me. Lust, you don't have power over me. Fornication, you don't have power over me. I tell you what to do, body, you do it. You begin to speak because you have power in your mouth. You have power over your body. You have power over your mind. You have the power of God inside you. Speak in tongues. Declare who you are in the middle of that chaotic situation. Speak it. I'm the righteousness of God. I have the life of God. I have overcome this thing. You know it is wrong. I have overcome the love for money. I have overcome it so that I won't compromise for, what, 200 Ghana cedis or whatever. You are standing. This is your new... You see, you have become the child of the king. You are a child of the king. You are standing there. What, do you understand? You are the child of the king. You are no mean person. Do you understand me? You walk in that consciousness. You don't behave like a fool. Oh, I'm a child of God, so I should fool around. Who told you that? You see, that is the earthly way of thinking. That, oh, my father is Igwe Imozi. So now all the people in the Imofia village, it's like, yes, I'm the one sitting on their necks. Or my father is, what? I use Nigerians because they like this whole Imofia kingdom kind of things. Anyway, the Ghanaian people, it's there, but, well, no, but that one is just a tribe who talks like that. But all of them, they don't have any cocoa sort to even sit. So that one is neither here nor there. Anyway, but I'm just saying, oh, my father is, because in Ghana, whose father is who? Whose father, that, can you come and say that my father is this? So who? Despise. That one cry doesn't fly. Does it? No. That's why I had to choose the Nigerian context, because they seem to believe in the, my father is Igwe something something. Chief who is who, you know. Yeah, it doesn't really fly, but I'm just saying, but people take pride in these things, okay? And it's so temporal, it's so whimsical, it doesn't really mean much, okay? So understand who you, and that, look, you have so much power. The Holy Spirit in you came with all of God, came with all of God. He didn't come with some of God, he came with all of God. And you have to focus. You have to bring your mind to it, to see it in your life. If you don't believe it, belief comes by paying attention to it and accepting it. It doesn't come passively. As we have come to sit here and we have laughed, and then you go home and then you just go and sleep and watch and just waste your time. And you're expecting something to happen because I come every Sunday and my life is not changing. You are deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. Because the Bible talks about the parable of the sower. When the word comes, the devil wants to take away the word from you so that you will not bear fruit. That's what the devil wants. Do you understand? Because that word is what will change your life. It will change your life. Hey, it's the treasure. Why is the devil coming for the word in your life? Why is the devil, when it's time for the word, you are sleeping? Why is it that when it's time, look, we can come and jump. If you say we should do praise, everybody will wake up. You see, everybody will be jumping. Hey, you're coming to do some dance. The word comes. Hey, it's like somebody has given everybody sleeping pills. That is the devil. The devil straight. It's as when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Maybe let's read the Living Translation. Verse 19. It says, the hard path where some of the seeds fell represents the heart of a person who hears the good news about the kingdom and doesn't understand it. Then Satan comes and snatches away the seeds from his heart. Look, Satan is after you, Badu. As you are sitting there, that is as if church is an option. It's, I don't know, it's not my priority. Good. The Satan comes, the one that you have heard, now the one that has come to church, that you don't understand. Then Satan comes and snatches away the seed from his heart. 20. The shallow, rocky soil represents the heart of a man who hears the message and receives it with real joy. But he doesn't have much depth in his life, and the seeds don't root very deeply. And after a while, when trouble comes or persecution begins because of his beliefs, his enthusiasm fades and drops out. And a lot of believers are also at this stage where we receive it, we jump it, we know we are excited, we are coming to church, but then you face a problem because we don't pay attention to the word. We don't allow it to be our world. There will always be persecution. The devil will come against you because of the word we have received. As we are talking about love right now, when you go home, you will see something will come to come and see whether the word that you received, you have gone back and put it in your heart. Oh, that is how it is. And it's never going to change. So when you go home and then people are insulting you because you went to church, or you applied for a job and you didn't get it, say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Look, those who love God, all things work together for us. Oh. That scripture is not for everybody. Oh. I'll go there. You see, people have to understand some things. God, you have to understand some. Don't deceive yourself. Oh. Do you love God? You. Do you love God? That you are quoting that scripture. No, you see, don't lie to yourself. We are not doing religion here. We are not doing religion here. We are teaching you the Bible. It's facts. Pay attention to it. It works for you. If you don't, trust me, you are off. You are off. You lie to yourself. You run around in circles for a long time until you decide that, you know what, I'm going to pay attention to this thing. And persecution begins because of his beliefs. His enthusiasm fades, and he drops out. 22. The ground covered with thistles represents a man who hears the message, but the cares of this life, oh Lord, every day, Ghana, somebody has stolen money. Every day, somebody has been caught. Every day, look, we don't take care. You are the word, you say, oh Jesus. But you know what? Cast your cares over to God. Okay, cast your cares. Don't look at them too much. They will let the word not bear fruit because you'll be talking too much. You know, God is king. So for money, and yeah, but the cares of this life and his longing for money. Hey! Ah, the word is super. Longing for money. Hey! You know, oh, it's very sad though. We have Christians in these places. You need God to hold you. Look, money, if you go after money, it's a never-ending story. It's a never-ending story. Go for God, he'll bring the money. Go for God, he'll add the money. But if you say that, now these people, they think me too, I'm a fool. And this is what is happening in the workplaces. People are taking bribes, people are taking things, and people think they are being cheated. You're a Christian, you say no, you think, hey, no. So instead of looking to God that God supply all my needs according to your riches and glory, supply all my needs. You see, faith in God, trusting in God. You say, okay, me too, I'll sleep with the man. Hey, and as for you there, when only you slept with the man, everything has passed. You see, I'm saying that the devil is after you. No, you see, do you understand? Only you. All of them, they've been doing it, sir. Only you are pregnant. Hey! Or something. You have had HIV. Only you. The devil is after you, and you are there. You want to live like the world? Oh, no. And his longing for money. Check out God's word. Look, God's word is what makes us. God's word has so much power. Yes, it may not come as fast because God prepares you before he gives it to you. If he gives you $1 million today, what will you do with it? No, what will you do with it? No, seriously. Because you see, you don't have the capacity for $1 million. So all these fraud boys and all these Sakawa guys, you see, that's why you waste the money on girls and stupid things, and then it's finished, and you have to go and steal again. If you were wise, or if it was, you see, a human being doesn't have power like they think they do. We are not strong like that, oh. It's either the devil is controlling you or God is controlling you. Anytime I see some of these headlines, I say, hey, the devil's money, pa, look, whatever happens, you pay for it. Hey, I call it Sazabun Samzika. Oh boy, you will pay for it. Or Benji, he will take it from you. It's not worth it at all. It's not worth it at all. It is not worth it at all. The love for money. I don't know. When sometimes I'm like, as a child, why do you need an iPhone? Is it 20 yet? Are we there yet? Because me, I've lost count. Where are we? Okay. We are university students. You are going to learn. What do you need an iPhone 16, right? For? I don't understand. Why do you need a Range Rover? Why do you need a... Are you like... No, it's very serious though. It is so sad. And that is what the young boys want. And I'm like, then what happened? Then what happened? All because you want fans. Apart from the fans that you get, all these people want your downfall because they knew you stole it. So, oh, in fact, as for Ghana, oh, praise him, praise him. What they say? It's called fanfooling. That's what they call it. Okay. Hey, it's part of the culture. Yes. We know we won't, when it's wrong, we won't tell you it's wrong. As long as we can get something from you, we'll keep praising you. And then when you fall, then everybody's opinion will start. That we knew it. We said it. Then everybody's opinion will come. It tells you that man, no. You see, fear man. They said Jesus said that Jesus did not give himself. When Jesus was healing the sick and raising the dead and they were carrying him and giving him, he didn't give himself over to it because he said he knew the heart of man. He knew the heart of man. Okay. So these things, longing for money, God will provide, though. God provides. You see, God provides. Stay in the word and give yourself over to him. He provides. And he does less and less for God. So this is what happened. Because of the curse of this world. This is a very nice translation. It's very spot on. Because of longing for money. It chokes out. So that one, it's like the word is there. It's like you are a Christian. But it's stifling the word. So small. He said, and that's less. And less for God. Because he's going after more money. He wants more money. This is very serious. That's, you see, now this is my favorite. I told you. 23. It's very nice, isn't it? Yeah. The good ground represents the heart of a man who listens to the message and understands it and goes out and brings 30, 60, and even 100 others into the kingdom. So this thing here, he listens to the message and understands it. As I've spoken to you right now, you've not really gotten what I've said. No, you haven't. You have to go back and listen to it and pay attention to it. Sometimes we read the word mindlessly. It's like they said we should read the Bible, so we are reading the Bible. If you are reading Thou They, Those, That, you don't understand what you are reading. Get a Bible that explains it. You have to understand the word to produce fruit. It's not just by reading it. If you read it and you don't understand it, you will not produce fruit. So you have read the Bible, but you don't understand what you have read. That 1-0. Maybe you can even quote it. Because, yes, in Ghana, as you chew, as you can chew and pour, everybody thinks you are the champion. But it is not your chewing and pouring, it's your ability to apply. And an ability to apply depends on your level of understanding. And understanding doesn't come by a cursory look. Understanding comes by intentional sitting down and deciding that I want to understand this with the help of the Holy Spirit. It takes time. It takes discipline to understand anything. Even in your lectures, if you want to understand it, you have to sit down and study. So if you want to understand the Bible, you have to study it. You can't come inside and go out and expect that your life will be rosy. I'll be lying to you. It doesn't happen that way. You have to sit down and study to understand it to produce fruit. So you are in church. You can be in church for 20 years if you are not studying the Bible. You may have some benefits just because you are here, but your full potential you will not reach. You will never reach. You have to sit down and study to understand it and bear fruit. With the help of the Holy Spirit. We have to learn how to sit down. We are always in a hurry. We are always in a hurry to go and do something else. We are always in a hurry. We have to sit down and understand the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:10. Let's read 3:10 and go to 3:17. 1 John is a love book, okay? If you want to know about love proper, read 1 John 1, 2, 3, okay? 1 John 3:10. He said, "In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil." So we are comparing the children of God and the children of the devil. You have to, you see, when you read the Bible, you assess yourself, hey, okay. He said, "Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So two things that differentiate us. So they are children of the devil, my brothers and sisters, and they are children of God. Whether you like it or not, where are you? Are you a child of God or are you a child of the devil? It is what it is. It is what it is. Are you the devil? There's no in between, no. There's no, I am a child of me. No, like there's no in between there. There's no wall. It's either you're a child of God or you're a child of the devil. Let's read the Living Bible. So now we can tell who is a child of God and who belongs to Satan. I think when we say devil, people don't get it. When you say Satan, it's like, hey, she hits, yeah. Who belongs to Satan? Whoever is living a life of sin, you see, and doesn't love his brother, shows that he's not in God's family. So this is our family trait. You see, there is the whole sin thing is because we have been made new. Okay? When you receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, you are changed. Inside, you receive a new nature, which is the life of God. Do you understand? And it is a righteous life. So now you are righteous by virtue of your new birth. Okay? So now you begin to do things right. Like when we are with the boys, and they want to go and beat somebody, you feel that, nah, it's not good. My brothers, you say, we shouldn't do that. Say, hey, my guy, what's up? Why, right now, you be Jesus or what? Yes, I be Jesus' brother. Oh, yes. I'm Jesus' brother. I have a new nature. Do you understand? People will try, hey, you have changed. Oh, yes. So I've become, I'm now part of God's family. Mine, I've changed. I'm a child of God. Hey, we'll give you 5 weeks. Don't worry. It's eternal. You know, so it's as you, you should be proud of this. It'll make you feel bad, but it's a glorious thing. Isn't it wonderful that you don't want to kill somebody? Like, isn't it wonderful that you don't want to steal from somebody? Now you don't have the taste for sex. You see, so I think one of the things, the deceptions that worry a lot of Christian brothers is the worldly strongholds that sex makes you a man. It's a lie. Having sex makes you a lie. So somebody is born again and still is driven along a certain way and doesn't even know. But these things you hear from your fathers, your uncles, your friends, your boys, ah, you be John. The girl come moving dress, they stand there, watch up. You know, do up. Yeah, you be John, boy. You see? So all these things is there. Now, as you become born again, you have to realize that those things are stupid. Those things are not of God. It is wrong. It's not that it is the devil's family that does these things. And you are not of the devil's family anymore. You see, it's a stronghold in your mind. So you change that and said, no, I'm a child of God, I can't do this. I belong to God's family, I can't do this. I have God's nature in me now. Now I'm born of God. It's such a beautiful thing, I tell you. It's a beautiful thing. So all the lies that were in the world telling, so that's what has caused a lot of people to be like, they have bondage in their minds because of wrong, sometimes they don't even know it's there. So if you are struggling with these things, sit down quietly and say, why am I thinking like this? You'll be shocked that it's a something somebody said somewhere. So it's a seed that has grown into a tree. And you don't know where it came from. Do you understand? When you were small, you were with your uncles and they were discussing some funny things and things. And you pick them up like unconsciously, just like they're weeds. And as you have grown, these things have guided you and don't know why you behave the way you do. Sit down, take your time. That's why you reflect on your life. It's like, why am I behaving like this? I'm a child of God. I have to move this way. What pushes me to go otherwise? Why? What pushes me? Why do I think like this? Why do I behave like this? There's a root somewhere that has to be uprooted. Say, this is a lie that I've been living my whole life. And then you pull it out. Say, thank you, Jesus. Okay. So now we know the family of God and the family of the devil. Very powerful. Of Satan, yes. Let's go to 17. If someone is supposed to be a Christian, has money enough to live well, and sees a brother in need, and won't help him, how can God's love be within him? Go and think about it. It's serious. We are supposed to change the world. We are the world changers, oh. Look, don't expect that Freemason rich guy to give you money, oh. You pay for it. Oh, you pay. It's not for free. It will never happen. It is not their nature. It's devil's family issues. You understand? Yes. But when we're a child of God, we are the ones who save the world. We are the saviors of the world. You understand? You give without really, you don't expect anything in return because it is God who blesses you. So if you can, give it. Why not? But I see a lot of Christians when they say, give to help somebody. Hey, as for me, I don't have me. You are poor. You forever be poor. Oh, you forever be poor. Trust me. You confess that over your life. Well, it is time to give for somebody. Now, you see, your true confession comes. So as you have come here, we are trying to change your confession. Because we are blessed to be a blessing. Christians are blessed to be blessings. We don't bless to hoard. We don't bless to come and, you say, and go on MTV Cribs. We don't do that. We are blessed to be blessings. That is, you see, you have to understand who you are and why you do what you do so that you do it well. We are blessed to be blessings. The Bible says, work so that you can have to give. That's what the Bible says. Work so that you can have to give to somebody. Our blessings come from God. And these are the words of God. It's not my words. If you argue with me on this, if you say what, we are manipulating you to let you give. We are, you see me, I can't be bothered. I actually feel sad because you're fighting with the Bible. And that's the word of God. And that's you. So we do good because we have the love of God in us. Okay, good. 16. He said, hereby we perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Let's look at the Living Bible. We know what real love is from Christ's example in dying for us. So we also ought to lay down our lives for our Christian brothers. When it says lay down your life, if you see somebody going wrong, you shouldn't keep quiet and watch it go. You should reach out and help that person. That is what it says. You are your brother's keeper. That is what it's trying to say. You are your brother's keeper. You don't look on and see your brother destroy another life or destroy themselves. It should bother you. You should pray about it. We are our brother's keepers. These are our traits as Christians. These are our traits as Christians. That's what differentiates us from the devil's children. We don't watch on and see people's lives get destroyed. We try to do something. We pray. We make sure we are doing the best that we can. This is our nature. Okay. And we all have this love of God in our hearts because the Holy Spirit has shed it abroad our hearts. In Romans 5 verse 5, isn't it? As you're a Christian, as you have received Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, the Holy Spirit has come into you. He has come into you with all of himself. So that love is inside you. It has been shed on your heart. That's Romans 5 verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. So the Holy Spirit in you makes you know that you have the love of God inside you. Therefore, you can love, okay? John 15, 9 and 10. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Go to 8. So the scripture says that you love me if you obey my commandment. 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide. Let's look at the Living Bible. When you obey me, you are living in my love, just as I obey my Father and live in his love. You see, your love, you see, we obey the word of God not to become righteous. We obey the word of God because we love God. It is a show of our love. Do you understand? So that's why we do what we do. That's why we obey the word. So it's not law, grace, it's not all that. We obey the word because we love God. Because his word is good for us. Do you understand? The law, grace thing is whether you are righteous by your works or not. That's the difference. You are righteous by virtue of your new birth, by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You obey the word because it's a show of your love for God. Do you understand? So now, as you are righteous, you do righteously, and you obey God's word. And there was something so beautiful. I didn't write, it wasn't part of it, I was just reading through. And said that you are my friends when you obey my word. You are my friends. So when I tell you that don't go here, let's go to church, then you get up and you go. You are God's friend. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Just 14, 15. If you love me. He didn't say if you want to be righteous. Say if you love me. So the show of your love is not you come to church and say, I love you, Lord. Or say, oh, but me, I love God. Me, I love God. What is that? Anybody can say, I love you. Anybody can say, I love you, Anna. Yes, but you know you're lying. Because love comes with actions, yes? What is your show of your love? God says, don't do this. That's why you don't do it. You love him. It's a show of your love for him. And the more you don't do it because you love him, the more your bond grows. You become his friend. It's like, this guy loves me. Let's read the 14 in the Living Bible. He said, you are my friends. If you obey me, then 15. I no longer call you slaves, for a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, proved by the fact that I have told you everything that the Father told me. So you see, when you are God's friend, now he tells you everything. He begins to tell you everything. Isn't that what we want? Now how do you become his friend? You obey him. And he sees that, this girl loves me. So that as you are in the office and everybody is compromising, you say, no, I love God too much to do this. God says, that's my friend. That is my friend. You can have a father, but he's not your friend. You know that, right? Your sonship or your daughtership doesn't change. But the level of friendship grows with every act of love, which is the obedience to his word. Now he can call you and say that, yeah, I'll come. I have to. And that was what happened with Abraham. It's like, I want to destroy the... He said, should I discuss this with my friend Abraham? I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Should I hide it from my friend Abraham? Goodness. Because Abraham was obeying him, whatever God said he did. He said, should I hide my plan from Abraham? When you obey God, he doesn't hide anything from you. He will tell you everything. And it's for everybody. Should I hide my plan from Abraham? Abraham was a friend of God. Now we have that opportunity. We are God's children. And because we are the righteous, we are friends. But your level of friendship, it can be casual friendship, or it can be deep friendship. It can be intimate friendship. You would want to be God's friend. He's the owner of the universe. And how do we draw close? Obey his word. Stand for him. Obey his word. Stand for him. Get to know him. If you don't know the word, you don't know him. You understand? You have general moral ideas. But get to know him. The more he says, draw near to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. We are all in the same family, but there are levels of relationship. You are in God's family, but there are levels. We won't all receive the same rewards. We will not all receive the same. It will not happen. This is James. He says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. You draw nigh to him. Obey his word. Get to know his word. And he will not keep anything from you. So this is the word I have for you today. So just let's get up and let's thank God for his word that has come to us. Just God, help me to know you. Yeah, I was supposed to read Romans 8:28. Actually, we can still read that last one. He said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It is not a general scripture. It is to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. He has loved us. He has shown his love for us. I told you that we should pray that God help us to understand how much you have loved us. And help us to believe the love that you have for us. And help us to live for you. Because that's the ultimate. We realize that all the other things without love is zero. It's zero. So love is the greatest. The Bible tells us. It is the greatest. So we have to, if it's the greatest, we have to pay attention to it. And get to know about it. And ask God to help us. So we'll just pray and ask God to help us. I want us to pray. There's a scripture that says that the Lord directs our hearts into the love of God and into the patience waiting for Christ. I didn't write the scripture. But I want us to pray that the Lord directs our hearts into the love of God, to direct our hearts. Prayer for today, 2 Thessalonians 3:5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. So this is the prayer for today. The Lord direct our hearts into your love. Help us to know it. Help us to believe it. Help us to live it, because love is the greatest. Love is the greatest. Shall we pray? Thank you, Jesus. Make a baba.
God bless you for listening. We pray that the Word of God will be rooted and grounded in your heart as you give attention to the Word. Kindly follow Pastor T and Love Economy Church on all social networks for more of God's Word. Don't forget to subscribe to the Pastor T podcast. Simply search for Pastor T on any podcast app, plug in, and enjoy God's Word. Visit our website at loveeconomychurch.org for more information. God bless you.